From the Conference Center Theater in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Sunday afternoon session of the 190th Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with speakers selected from the general authorities and general officers of the church. Music for this session is provided by the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. This broadcast is furnished as a public service by Bonneville Distribution. Any reproduction, recording, transcription, or other use of this program without written consent is prohibited. President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency of the Church, will conduct this session.
Brothers and sisters, we welcome you to the Sunday afternoon session of the 190th Semiannual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Russell M. Nelson, who presides at the conference, has asked me to conduct this session. We extend our greetings to members of the church and friends everywhere, all participating in the conference. The music for this session, which was previously recorded, will be provided by the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square under the direction of various conductors and organists. The choir will open this meeting by singing, "O Say What Is Truth." The invocation will then be offered by Elder Paul V. Johnson of the 70.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in gratitude as we begin the final session of this wonderful general conference. We're grateful to Thee for Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and His atonement. We're grateful for the opportunity to listen to the messages today. We join our prayers with those around the world for the people who are suffering, and especially for those who are striving so diligently to put an end to the suffering. We pray that Thy Spirit will be with those who are speaking, and as we open our hearts and our minds, that the Spirit will witness the truthfulness of what we hear and help us as we strive to align our will with Thine. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The choir will now favor us with Softly and Tenderly. After the singing, we will be pleased to hear from President Henry B. Eyring, second counselor in the First Presidency. He will be followed by Elder Jeremy R. Yagi and Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Brother Milton Camargo, first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, will then address us.
Tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling.
My dear brothers and sisters, I am grateful to speak with you today. My hope is to give encouragement when life seems especially difficult and uncertain. For some of you, that time is now. If not, such a time will come. That is not a gloomy view. It is realistic, yet optimistic, because of God's purpose in the creation of this world. That purpose was to give His children the opportunity to prove themselves able and willing to choose the right when it is hard. In so doing, their natures would be changed and they could become more like Him. He knew that would require unshakable faith in Him. Much of what I know came from my family. When I was about 8 years old, my wise mother asked my brother and me to pull weeds with her in our family's backyard garden. Now that seems a simple task, but we lived in New Jersey. It rained often. The soil was heavy clay. The weeds grew faster than the vegetables. I remember my frustration when the weeds broke off in my hands, their roots stuck firmly in the heavy mud. My mother and my brother were soon far ahead in their rows. The harder I tried, the more I fell behind. "This is too hard," I cried out. Instead of giving sympathy, my mother smiled and said, "Oh, Hal, of course it's hard. It's supposed to be. Life is a test." In that moment, I knew her words were true and would continue to be true in my future. The reason for Mother's loving smile became clear years later when I read of Heavenly Father and His beloved Son speaking of their purpose in creating the world and giving spirit children the opportunity of mortal life. "And we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon. And they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate. And they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever." You and I accepted that invitation to be tested and to prove that we would choose to keep the commandments of God when we would no longer be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Even with such a loving invitation from our Heavenly Father, Lucifer persuaded a third of the spirit children to follow him and reject the Father's plan for our growth and eternal happiness. For Satan's rebellion, he was cast out with his followers. Now, he tries to cause as many as he can to turn away from God during this mortal life. Those of us who accepted the plan did so because of our faith in Jesus Christ, who offered to become our Savior and Redeemer. We must believe then that whatever mortal weaknesses we would have and whatever evil forces would be against us, the forces of good could be overwhelmingly greater. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ know and love you. They want you to return to them and become like them. Your success is their success. You have felt that love, confirmed by the Holy Ghost when you have read or heard these words, open quote, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." God has the power to make our way easier.
He fed manna to the children of Israel in their wandering to the promised land. The Lord in his mortal ministry healed the sick, raised the dead, and calmed the sea. After his resurrection, he opened the prison to them that were bound. Yet the prophet Joseph Smith, one of the greatest of his prophets, suffered in prison and was taught the lesson we all profit from and need in our recurring tests of faith. Open quote. And if thou shouldst be cast into the pit or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou be cast into the deep, if the billowing surge conspire against thee, if fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness and all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open, the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good. Close quote. You might reasonably wonder why a loving and all-powerful God allows our mortal test to be so hard. It is because he knows that we must grow in spiritual cleanliness and stature to be able to live in his presence in families forever. To make that possible, Heavenly Father gave us a Savior and the power to choose for ourselves by faith to keep his commandments and to repent and so come unto him. The Father's plan of happiness has at its center our becoming ever more like his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In all things, the Savior's example is our best guide. He was not exempt from the need to prove himself. He endured for all of Heavenly Father's children, paying the price for all our sins. He felt the suffering of all who have and will come into mortality. When you wonder how much pain you can endure, well, remember him. He suffered what you suffer so that he would know how to lift you up. He may not remove the burden, but he will give you strength, comfort, and hope. He knows the way. He drank the bitter cup. He endured the suffering of all. You are being nourished and comforted by a loving Savior who knows how to succor you in whatever tests you face. Alma taught, open quote, and he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people, and he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Close quote. One way he will succor you will be to invite you always to remember him and to come unto him. He has encouraged us this way. Open quote, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Close quote. The way to come unto him is to feast upon his words, to exercise faith unto repentance, to choose to be baptized and confirmed by his authorized servant, and then to keep your covenants with God. He sends the Holy Ghost to be your companion, comforter, and guide. As you live worthy of the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Lord can direct you to safety, even when you cannot see the way. For me, he has most often shown the next step or two to take. Rarely has he given me a glimpse of the distant future, but even those infrequent glimpses guide what I choose to do in daily life. The Lord explained, open quote, "Ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time the design of your God concerning those things which will come hereafter and the glory which will follow much tribulation. For after much tribulation come the blessings." The greatest blessing that will come when we prove ourselves faithful to our covenant during our trials will be a change in our natures. By choosing to keep our covenants, the power of Jesus Christ and the blessings of His atonement can work in us. Our hearts can be softened to love, to forgive, and to invite others to come unto the Savior. Our confidence in the Lord increases. Our fears decrease. Now, even with such blessings promised through tribulation, we do not seek tribulation. In the mortal experience, we will have ample opportunity to prove ourselves, to pass tests hard enough to become ever more like the Savior and our Heavenly Father. In addition, we must notice the tribulation of others and try to help. That will be especially hard when we are being sorely tested ourselves. But we will discover, as we lift another's burden, even a little, that our backs are strengthened and we sense a light in the darkness. In this, the Lord is our exemplar. On the cross of Golgotha, having already suffered pain so great that he would have died were he not the begotten Son of God, he looked on his executioners and said to his Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." While suffering for all who had ever lived, he looked from the cross on John and on his own sorrowing mother and ministered to her in her trial. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. By his actions on that most sacred of days, he voluntarily gave his life for each of us, offering not only succor in this life, but eternal life in the time to come. I have seen people rise to great heights through proving faithful in terrible trials. Across the day, the church today are examples. People are driven to their knees by adversity. By their faithful endurance and effort, they become ever more like the Savior and our Heavenly Father. I learned another lesson from my mother. As a girl, she had diphtheria and nearly died. Later, she had spinal meningitis. Her father died young, and so my mother and her brothers helped support their mother. All her life, she felt the effects of the trials of illness. In her last 10 years of life, she required multiple operations. But through it all, she proved faithful to the Lord. The only picture on her bedroom wall was of the Savior. Her last words to me and her deathbed were these: "Hal, you sound as if you are getting a cold. Why don't you take care of yourself?" At her funeral, the last speaker was Elder Spencer W. Kimball. After saying something of her trials and her faithfulness, he said essentially this: "Some of you may wonder why Mildred had to suffer so much and so long. I will tell you why. It was because the Lord wanted to polish her a little more." Close quote. I express my gratitude for the many faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ who bear burdens with steady faith and who help others to bear theirs as the Lord seeks to polish them a little more. I have also expressed love and admiration for caregivers and leaders across the world who serve others while they and their families endure such polishing. I testify that we are children of a heavenly Father who loves us. I feel President Russell M. Nelson's love for us all. He is the Lord's prophet in the world today. I so testify in the sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Two years ago, my youngest brother Chad.
ترك انتقاله إلى الجانب الآخر فجوة في قلب زوجة أخي ستيفاني وطفلاها الصغيران برايدن وبيلا وكذلك بقية أفراد الأسرة. وجدنا عزاء في كلمات الشيخ نيل إل أندرسون في المؤتمر العام قبل أسبوع من وفاة تشاد. في بوتقة التجارب الأرضية تحرك بصبر إلى الأمام وسوف تجلب لكم قوة المخلص الشافية النور والتفهم والسلام والأمل. نحن نؤمن بيسوع المسيح ونعلم أننا سنجتمع مع تشاد مرة أخرى، لكن فقدان حضوره الجسدي يؤلم. لقد فقد الكثيرون أحباءهم. من الصعب التحلي بالصبر وانتظار الوقت الذي سنجتمع فيه معهم. بعد عام من وفاته شعرنا وكأن سحابة مظلمة طغت علينا. لجأنا إلى دراسة كتبنا المقدسة والصلاة بحرارة وحضور الهيكل بشكل متكرر. تستحوذ سطور هذه الترنيمة على مشاعرنا في ذلك الوقت. يطلع فجر النهار والعالم يستيقظ وغيوم عتمة الليل تنجلي. قررت عائلتنا أن عام 2020 سيكون عام انتعاش. كنا ندرس درس تعالى واتبعني في سفر يعقوب من العهد الجديد في أواخر تشرين الثاني نوفمبر 2019 عندما برز لنا موضوع. نقرأ في يعقوب الفصل الأول الآية الثانية: يا إخوتي احسبوه كل فرح حينما تقعون في تجارب متنوعة. في رغبتنا في افتتاح عام جديد عقد جديد بفرح، قررنا أنه في عام 2020 سنحسبه كل فرح. لقد شعرنا بقوة عن هذا الأمر حتى أنه في عيد الميلاد الماضي قمنا بإهداء قمصان إلى أخوتنا مع أحرف كبيرة: احسبوه كل فرح. سيكون عام 2020 بالتأكيد عام الفرح والبهجة. حسنا، ها نحن دا عام 2020 جلب بدلا من ذلك جائحة كوفيد-19 العالمية والاضطرابات المدنية والتحديات الاقتصادية. قد يمنحنا أبانا السماوي الوقت للتفكير والتأمل في فهمنا للصبر وقرارنا الواعي باختيار الفرح. منذ ذلك الحين أصبح لسفر يعقوب معنى جديد بالنسبة لنا. في يعقوب الفصل الأول آيات 3 و4: عالمين أن امتحان إيمانكم ينشئ صبرا، وأما الصبر فليكن له عمل تام لكي تكونوا تامين وكاملين غير ناقصين في شيء. في جهودنا للبحث عن الفرح في خضم تجاربنا نسينا أن التحلي بالصبر هو المفتاح لترك تلك التجارب تعمل لصالحنا. علم الملك بنيامين بأن ينزع الإنسان الطبيعي ويصبح قديسا بكفارة للرب يسوع، ويصبح كطفل خاضعا ووضيعا ومتواضعا وصبورا ومملوءا حبا مستعدا للخضوع لكل الأمور. يعلم الفصل السادس من بشروا بإنجيلي صفات أساسية للمسيح يمكننا الاقتداء بها. الصبر هو القدرة على تحمل التأخير أو المتاعب أو المقاومة أو المعاناة دون أن تغضب أو تحبط أو تقلق. إنه القدرة على عمل مشيئة الله وقبول توقيته. عندما تتحلى بالصبر تصمد تحت الضغط وتكون قادرا على مواجهة المحن بهدوء وأمل. يمكن أيضا توضيح عمل الصبر الكامل في حياة سمعان الكنعاني أحد تلاميذ المسيح الأوائل. كان الغيورون مجموعة من القوميين اليهود الذين عارضوا بشدة الحكم الروماني. دعت حركة الغيورين إلى استخدام العنف ضد الرومان والمتعاونين معهم من اليهود والصدوقيين من خلال الإغارة على المؤن والسعي لأنشطة أخرى لمساعدة قضيتهم. كان سمعان الكنعاني غيورا. تخيل أن سمعان كان يحاول إقناع المخلص بحمل السلاح أو قيادة مجموعة مسلحة وخلق الفوضى في أورشليم. علم يسوع طوبى للودعاء لأنهم يرثون الأرض، طوبى للرحماء لأنهم يرحمون، طوبى لصانعي السلام لأنهم أبناء الله يدعون. ربما اعتنق سمعان فلسفته ودافع عنها بحماسة وشغف، لكن الكتاب المقدس يشير إلى أنه من خلال تأثير المخلص ومثاله تغير تركيزه. أصبحت تلمذته على يد المسيح المحور المركزي لجهود حياته. عندما نقطع العهود مع الله ونحفظها، يمكن للمخلص أن يساعدنا على أن نولد من جديد. نعم، المولود من الله يتغير من حالة الجسد والسقوط إلى حالة البر، مفديين من الله ونصير أبناءه وبناته. من بين جميع المساعي الاجتماعية والدينية والسياسية المتحمسة في عصرنا، دعا تلميذ يسوع المسيح يكون هو الانتماء الأكثر وضوحا وتأكيدا، لأنه حيث يكون كنزك هناك يكون قلبك أيضا. دعونا أيضا لا ننسى، حتى بعد أن يعمل التلاميذ المخلصون إرادة الله، كانوا بحاجة إلى الصبر. مثلما تصنع تجربة إيماننا الصبر في داخلنا، كذلك عندما نتحلى بالصبر يزداد إيماننا، وكلما زاد إيماننا زاد فرحنا. في أذار مارس الماضي دخلت ابنتنا الثانية إما مثل العديد من المبشرين في الكنيسة في الحجر الإلزامي. عاد العديد من المبشرين إلى ديارهم، وينتظر العديد من المبشرين إعادة تكليفهم. لم ينال الكثيرون بركات الهيكل الخاصة بهم قبل مغادرتهم إلى ميدان العمل. شكرا لكم أيها الشيوخ والأخوات، إننا نحبكم. تعرضت إيما ورفيقتها في هولندا لمجهود شديد في الأسابيع الأولى، وقد أدت تلك إلى بكائها في كثير من الحالات. مع وجود فرص وجيزة فقط للتفاعل الشخصي والتعرض الخارجي المحدود، زاد اعتماد إيما على الله. صلينا معها عبر الإنترنت وسألناها كيف يمكننا المساعدة. طلبت منا التواصل مع الأصدقاء الذين كانت تدرسهم عبر الإنترنت. بدأت عائلتنا في التواصل عبر الإنترنت واحدا تلو الآخر مع الأصدقاء إيما في هولندا. لقد دعوناهم للانضمام إلى دراستنا لتعالى اتبعني الأسبوعية عبر الإنترنت للأسرة الممتدة. أصبح كل من فلور ولورا ورينسك وفريك وبنجامين وستال ومحمد أصدقاء لنا. دخل بعض أصدقائنا في هولندا من الباب الضيق، بينما يظهر لآخرون استقامة الطريق وضيق الباب الذي منه ينبغي أن يدخلوا. إنهم إخوتنا وأخواتنا في المسيح. في كل أسبوع احسبوه كل فرح بينما نعمل معا في تقدمنا على طريق العهد. وأما الصبر فليكن له عمل تام. في عدم قدرتنا على الالتقاء شخصيا بعائلات الأوتاد لموسم، لكننا نحسب كل فرح أن إيمان عائلاتنا يزداد من خلال اتصال التكنولوجيا الجديدة ومع بعضنا البعض من خلال قوة كتاب مورمون. الهيكل حيث نقطع عهودا مقدسة مع الله مغلق، البيت حيث نحفظ العهود مع الله مفتوح. لدينا فرصة في المنزل للدراسة والتفكير في الجمال الاستثنائي لعهود الهيكل. حتى في حالة غياب الدخول إلى هذا الفضاء المادي المقدس، فإن قلوبنا ستفرح جدا نتيجة للبركات التي سأسكبها. فقد الكثيرون وظائفهم، وفقد البعض الآخر الفرص، ومع ذلك فإننا نفرح جنبا إلى جنب مع الرئيس نيلسون الذي صرح مؤخرا: لقد زادت تقديمات الصوم الطوعية من أعضائنا بالفعل، بالإضافة إلى المساهمات الطوعية لصناديقنا للإغاثة. معا سنتغلب على هذا الوقت الصعب. سيباركك الرب وأنت تواصل مباركة الآخرين. تشجعوا، لا تخافوا، هي وصية من الرب. أحيانا ينفذ صبرنا عندما نعتقد أننا نفعل كل شيء صواب ولا نحصل على البركات التي نرغب فيها. صار أخنوخ مع الله لمدة 365 عاما قبل أن يتم رفعه هو وشعبه. 365 عاما من السعي لفعل كل صواب، ثم حدث ذلك. جاءت وفاة شقيق تشاد بعد بضعة أشهر فقط من تسريحنا من رئاسة بعثة يوتا أوغدن. لقد كانت معجزة أنه بينما كنا نعيش في جنوب كاليفورنيا من بين جميع البعثات 417 التي كان من الممكن تكليفنا بها في عام 2015، تم تكليفنا في شمال ولاية يوتا. كان منزل البعثة على بعد 30 دقيقة بالسيارة من منزل تشاد. تم تشخيص سرطان تشاد بعد أن استلمنا التكليف لمهمتنا. حتى في أكثر الظروف صعوبة، علمنا أن أبينا السماوي كان يهتم بنا ويساعدنا في العثور على الفرح. أشهد على قوة الفداء والتقديس والتواضع والفرح للمخلص يسوع المسيح. أشهد أنه عندما نصلي لأبينا السماوي باسم يسوع سوف يستجيب لنا. أشهد أنه بينما نسمع ونطيع ونصغي لصوت الرب ونبيه الحي رئيس راسل إم نيلسون، وأما الصبر فليكن له عمل تام، واحسبوه كل فرح باسم يسوع المسيح. آمين.
I witness that when we pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, He will answer us. I witness that as we hear, hearken, and heed the voice of the Lord and His living prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, we can let patience have her perfect work and count it all joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Years ago, as a young missionary laboring
in غمرتنا البهجة عندما علمنا أن الرئيس سبنسر دبليو كيمبل كان يزور آسيا، ودعي جميع الأعضاء والمبشرين في اليابان إلى طوكيو للاستماع شخصيا إلى النبي في مؤتمر المنطقة. بدأت أنا ورفيقي وأعضاء الفرع نخطط بحماس للمؤتمر، رحلة بالقارب لمدة 12 ساعة عبر بحر الصين الشرقي إلى البر الرئيسي لليابان، تليها رحلة بالقطار لمدة 15 ساعة إلى طوكيو. للأسف لم يكن الأمر كذلك. تلقينا كلمة من رئيس بعثتنا التبشيرية مفادها أن رفيقي وأنا بسبب المسافة والوقت لن نتمكن من حضور المؤتمر في طوكيو. بينما كان أعضاء فرعنا الصغير يتجهون إلى طوكيو، بقيت أنا ورفيقي في أمامي أوشيما، وبدأت الأيام التالية هادئة وفارغة. عقدنا اجتماع القربان بمفردنا في الكنيسة الصغيرة بينما حضر قديسو الأيام الأخيرة والمبشرون في اليابان المؤتمر. ازداد احساسي بخيبة الامل الشخصية حتى عندما استمعت بفرح لاعضاء الفرع الذين عادوا من المؤتمر بعد ايام معلنين عن اعلان الرئيس كيمبل عن بناء هيكل في طوكيو. تحدثوا بحماسة عندما اعلنوا عن تحقيق حلمهم. وصفوا كيف انه عند سماع الاعلان عن الهيكل لم يتمكن الاعضاء والمبشرون من احتواء فرحتهم وانطلقوا تلقائيا بالتصفيق. مرت سنوات ولم أنسى خيبة الأمل التي شعرت بها لعدم تمكني من المشاركة في الاجتماع التاريخي. لقد فكرت في هذه التجربة في الأشهر الأخيرة عندما لاحظت أن الآخرين يواجهون خيبة أمل وحزن عميقين أكبر بكثير من خيبة أملي عندما كنت شابا، وذلك بسبب جائحة كوفيد-19 العالمية. في وقت سابق من هذا العالم، مع تسارع انتشار الوباء، تعهدت الرئاسة الأولى بأن الكنيسة وأعضائها سيظهرون بأمانة التزاما بأن يكونوا مواطنين صالحين وجيران جيدين، وسوف يتوخون الحذر الشديد. وهكذا شهدنا تعليق التجمعات الكنسية في جميع أنحاء العالم، وعودة أكثر من نصف قوة الكنيسة التبشيرية إلى أوطانهم، وإغلاق جميع الهياكل في جميع أنحاء الكنيسة. كان الآلاف منكم يستعدون لدخول الهيكل من أجل المراسيم الحية، بما في ذلك مراسيم الختم في الهيكل. أنهى آخرون منكم خدمتهم كمبشرين مبكرا أو تم تسريحهم وإعادة تعيينهم مؤقتا. خلال هذا الوقت أغلق القادة الحكوميون والتعليميون المدارس، بالتالي أدى ذلك إلى تعديل التخرج وفرض إلغاء المناسبات والأنشطة الرياضية والمدرسية. استعد الكثير منكم لمناسبات لم يحضروها ولعروض لم يستمع إليها أو مواسم رياضية لم يتم لعبها. والأمر الأكثر تأثيرا هو مشاعر العائلات التي فقدت أحبائها خلال هذا الوقت، ولم يتمكن معظمهم من إقامة الجنازات أو تجمعات الحنونة الأخرى كما يأملون. باختصار، لقد مر الكثير منكم بخيبات أمل حقيقية وحزن وإحباط، فكيف نشفى ونصبر ونتقدم بإيمان؟ بدأ النبي نافيا النقش على اللواح الصغير عندما كان شابا، ولما نظر إلى الوراء نحو حياته وخدمته قدم تأملا مهما في الآية الأولى من كتاب مورمون. أجد أن هذه الآية التي كتبها نافي في أيامه تشكل مبدأ هاما يجب علينا مراعاته في أيامنا هذه. بعد كلماته المألوفة أنا نافي إذ ولدت لأبوين صالحين، كتب ولما كنت قد صادفت محنا كثيرة أثناء أيامي وكنت مع ذلك أثيرا عند الرب مدى أيامي. إننا كدارسين لكتاب مورمون على دراية بالعديد من الألام التي يشير إليها نافي، ومع ذلك بعد الاعتراف بمحنه خلال أيامه يعطينا في وجهة نظره الإنجيلية بأنه كان محبوبا كثيرا من قبل الرب في كل أيامه. إن أوقات المحن وخيبة الأمل لا تغير من عين الرب الراعية بينما ينظر إلينا باستحسان ويباركنا. التقيت مؤخرا بحوالي 600 مبشرا في أستراليا، كان معظمهم خاضعا لبعض الإجراءات أو القيود المتعلقة بكوفيد 19، ويعمل كثير منهم من شقاقهم. مؤخرا في اجتماع افتراضي مع المبشرين في نيوزيلندا، تأملنا الأفراد في العهد الجديد وكتاب مورمون والمبادئ والعهود الذين باركهم الرب لتحقيق العظمة في الشدائد. تم التعريف عنهم جميعا بما كانوا قادرين على فعله بمساعدة الرب أكثر مما تم تعريفهم بما لم يتمكنوا من فعله خلال وقت الحبس والتقييد. نقرأ عن بولس وسيلة وبينهما هما مسجونان في المقطرة، كانا يصليان ويرنمان ويعلمان ويشهدان بل وعمدا السجان. ومرة أخرى عن بولس، كان في روما تحت الإقامة الجبرية لمدة عامين، وخلال هذه الفترة كان يمضي كارزا بملكوت الله باستمرار ومعلما بأمر الرب يسوع المسيح. وعن نافي ولاحي ابني حيلمان اللذين بعد تعرضهما للإساءة والسجن أحاطت بهما نار الحماية عندما سمعا صوت الرب، وكان صوتا خفيفا وهادئا للغاية قد نفذ إلى أعماق نفس السجانين. وعن ألما وأمولق اللذين وجدا أن كثير منهم قد آمنوا وأقبلوا على التوبة وتفتيش الأسفار المقدسة، وبالرغم من أنهم سخروا منهما ومنعوا عنهما الطعام والماء والملابس وقيد وسجنا. وأخيرا عن جوزيف سميث الذي كان معذبا في سجن ليبرتي وشاعرا بأنه منبوذ ومتروك، ثم سمع كلمات الرب: هذه الأشياء ستكون لمنفعتك، الله معك إلى أبد الأبدين. فهم كل واحد منهم ما عرفه نافي من أنهم رأوا الكثير من الآلام خلال أيامهم إلا أنهم كانوا أثيرين عند الرب. نحن أيضا يمكننا أن نحدد بنفس الشكل كأعضاء وككنيسة الطريقة التي كنا بها أثيرين عند الرب خلال الأوقات الصعبة التي مررنا بها في الأشهر العديدة الماضية. دع الأمثلة التي سأذكرها تعزز شهادتك عن نبينا الحي كرائي الذي حضرنا عن طريق التعديلات قبل أي أثر للوباء، مما مكننا من تحمل التحديات التي حلت. أولا، العمل أكثر على التمركز حول المنزل مدعومين من الكنيسة. منذ سنتين قال الرئيس راسل أم نيلسون: كقديسي للأيام الأخيرة فلقد أصبحنا معتادين على التفكير في الكنيسة على أن كل ما يحدث في بيوت الاجتماعات يكون متناغما ما يحدث في المنزل. نحن نحتاج إلى التأقلم مع هذا النموذج. التمركز حول البيت مدعوما من الكنيسة بكل ما يحدث في داخل مبانينا. يا له من تعديل نبوي. تم تطبيق تعليم الإنجيل المرتكز على المنزل مع الإغلاق المؤقت لبيوت الاجتماعات. حتى عندما يعود العالم إلى الوضع الطبيعي ونعود إلى الكنائس، سنرغب في المحافظة على نموذج دراسة وتعلم الإنجيل المرتكز على المنزل الذي تم تطويره خلال الوباء. المثال الثاني على كوننا آثرين عند الرب هو الخدمة الرعوية بطريقة أسمى وأقدس. في عام 2018 قدم الرئيس نيلسون الخدمة الرعوية كتعديل على الطريقة التي نهتم بها ببعضنا البعض. لقد اتاح الوباء العديد من الفرص لصقل مهاراتنا في الخدمة الرعوية. الأخوة والأخوات والشابات والشبان المعينون للخدمة الرعوية وآخرون مدوا يدهم لتأمين العناية بالجنائن والوجبات والرسائل عبر الوسائل التكنولوجية ومرسوم القربان لمباركة المحتاجين. وكانت الكنيسة نفسها تخدم الآخرين أيضا أثناء الوباء من خلال توزيع غير مسبوق للسلع على بنوك الطعام وملاجئ المشردين ومراكز دعم المهاجرين ومع المشاريع الموجهة إلى حالات الجوع الأكثر خطورة في العالم. استجابت الأخوات في جمعية الإعانة وعائلاتهن لتحدي صنع ملايين الكمامات للعاملين في مجال الرعاية الصحية. المثال الأخير على كوننا أثيرين عند الرب في الوقت الشدائد هو إيجاد الفرح الكبير في عودة مراسيم الهيكل. أفضل وصف أفضل وصل هذا هو هذه القصة. عندما تلقت الأخت كيتلين بالمر دعوة مهمتها التبشيرية في نيسان أبريل الماضي، كانت متحمسة لدعوتها كمبشرة، لكنها شعرت أنه من المهم والمميز الذهاب إلى الهيكل لاستلام أعطيتها وإبرام العهود المقدسة. بعد فترة وجيزة من تحديد موعد استلام أعطيتها جاء الإعلان عن إغلاق جميع الهياكل مؤقتا بسبب الوباء العالمي. بعد تلقي هذه الأخبار الحزينة علمت أنها ستحضر مركز تدريب المبشرين افتراضيا من منزلها. على الرغم من خيبات الأمل هذه ركزت كيتلين على الحفاظ على معنوياتها عالية. في الأشهر التالية لم تفقد الأخت بالمر الأمل في الذهاب إلى الهيكل. صاموا أهلها وصلوا كي تفتح الهياكل قبل رحيلها. غالبا ما كانت كيتلين تبدأ كل صباح في مركز تدريب المبشرين المنزلي بقولها هل سيكون يوم واليوم الذي نتلقى فيه معجزة وتفتح الهياكل مرة أخرى؟ في 10 أب أغسطس أعلنت الرئاسة الأولى أن الهيكل الذي ستنسب إليه كيتلين سيعاد فتحه من أجل المراسم الحية في الصباح الباكر من اليوم المحدد لرحلتها مهمتها التبشيرية. لن تكون قادرة على الذهاب إلى الهيكل واللحاق برحلتها. مع القليل من الأمل بالنجاح اتصلت عائلتها برئيس الهيكل مايكل فيينغا لمعرفة ما إذا كانت هناك أي طريقة يمكن بها تحقيق المعجزة التي كانوا يصلون أجلها. استجاب الله لصلواتهم وصومهم. في الساعة 2 صباحا قبل ساعات من مغادرة طائرتها استقبل رئيس الهيكل الأخت بالمر وعائلتها والدموع على وجوههم على أبواب باب الهيكل بهذه الكلمات: صباح الخير عائلة بالمر، أهلا وسهلا بكم في الهيكل. عندما أتمت استلام عطياتها تم تشجيعهم على التحرك بسرعة حيث كانت الأسرة التالية تنتظر عند الأبواب وتوجهوا مباشرة إلى المطار في الوقت المناسب تماما للحاق برحلتها إلى مهمتها التبشيرية. تبدو مراسيم الهيكل التي افتقدناها على مدى عدة أشهر أعذب مما كنا نتصورها سابقا حيث يعاد افتتاح الهياكل حول العالم على مراحل. في ختام حديثي أرجو أن تستمعوا إلى الكلمات المشجعة والحماسية والراقية للنبي جوزيف سميث التي لن يخمن مرء أبدا أنه صغى في محنة وعزلة، كان مقيدا ومحجوزا في نافو مختبئا من أولئك الذين كانوا يسعوا للقبض عليه بشكل غير قانوني. وهذا اقتباس. والآن ماذا نسمع في الإنجيل الذي تسلمناه؟ صوت الفرح، صوت الرحمة من السماء، وصوت الحق من الأرض، بشرى الابتهاج للأموات، وصوت الفرح للأحياء والأموات، بشرى مفرحة بابتهاج عظيم. هل سنتوقف في هذا العطف العظيم إلى الأمام وليس إلى الوراء؟ الشجاعة أيها الأخوة، هيا بنا إلى النصر، ولتبتهج قلوبكم وافرحوا للغاية، ودعوا الأرض تنفجر في الترانيم. انتهاء الاقتباس. أيها الأخوة والأخوات، أعتقد أنه في يوم من الأيام سوف ينظر كل منكم إلى الوراء، إلى المناسبات الملغاة والحزن وخيبة الأمل والوحدة ومصاحبة الأوقات الصعبة، ليرى أنه طغت عليها البركات وتزايد فيها الإيمان والشهادات. إنني أؤمن أنه في هذه الحياة وفي الحياة الآتية سيتم تكريس محنتكم و عمنوحية وسجن ليبرتي الخاصة بكم من أجل منفعتكم. أدعو الله أن نتمكن مع نافي من الاعتراف بالمشاكل التي تحدث خلال أيامنا مع الاعتراف في نفس الوقت بأننا آثيرون للغاية من الرب. أختم شهادتي عن يسوع المسيح الذي لم يكن غريبا عن المحن، وكجزء من كفارته اللانهائية نزل تحت كل شيء. إنه يفهم حزننا وألمنا ويأسنا. إنه مخلصنا وفادينا ورجاؤنا وعزاؤنا ومنقذنا. بهذا أشهد باسمه القدوس. آمين.
He is our savior, our redeemer, our hope, our consolation and our deliverer. Of this I testify in his holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Four months ago, in my study of the scriptures, I was reading about Alma's mission in Ammonihah when I came across this suggestion and come follow me. As you read about the great blessings God gave the people of Nephi, ponder the great blessings he has given you. I decided to make a list of God's blessings to me and record it in my digital version of the manual. In a matter of minutes, I had listed 16 blessings. Foremost among them were the great blessings of the Savior's mercy and atoning sacrifice on my behalf. I also wrote of the blessing I had to represent the Savior as a young missionary in Portugal, and later with my loving eternal companion Patricia in the Brazil-Porto Alegre South Mission, where we served with 522 powerful and wonderful missionaries. Speaking of Patricia, many of the blessings I recorded that day are blessings we have enjoyed together throughout our 40 years of marriage, including our sealing in the São Paulo, Brazil temple, our three wonderful children, their spouses, and our 13 grandchildren. My thoughts turned also to my righteous parents, who raised me in the principles of the gospel. I was reminded in particular of a moment when my loving mother knelt with me to pray by my bedside when I was around 10 years of age. She must have felt that if my prayers were going to reach my Father in heaven, they would need to improve. So she said, "I will pray first, and after my prayer, you pray." She continued this pattern for many nights until she was confident I had learned by principle and by practice how to speak to Heavenly Father. I'll be forever grateful to her for teaching me to pray, for I learned that my Heavenly Father hears my prayers and answers them. In fact, that was another blessing that I included in my list, the gift to be able to hear and learn the will of the Lord. An important part of Heavenly Father's plan is the opportunity to communicate with Him anytime we want. When the Savior visited the Americas after His resurrection, He repeated an invitation that He had given to His disciples in Galilee. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, has given a similar invitation in our day. He said, "Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses, yes, the very longings of your heart. And then listen, write the thoughts that come to your mind. Record your feelings and follow through with actions that you're prompted to take. As you repeat this process day after day, month after month, year after year, you will grow into the principle of revelation." President Nelson added, "In coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost." Why is revelation so essential to our spiritual survival? Because the world can be confusing and noisy, full of deception and distractions. Communication with our Father in heaven enables us to sort through what is true and what is false, what is relevant to the Lord's plan for us and what is not. The world can also be harsh and heartbreaking, but as we open our hearts in prayer, we will feel the comfort that comes from our Father in heaven and the assurance that He loves and values us. The Lord said that everyone that asketh receiveth. Asking seems simple, and yet it is powerful because it reveals our desires and our faith. However, it takes time and patience to learn to understand the voice of the Lord. We pay attention to thoughts and feelings that come to our minds and hearts, and we write them down as our prophet has counseled us to do. Recording our impressions is an important part of receiving. It helps us recall, review, and refill what the Lord is teaching us. Recently, a loved one said to me, "I believe personal revelation to be true. I believe the Holy Ghost will show me all things I should do. It is easy to believe when I feel my bosom burn with undoubting conviction. But how can I have the Holy Ghost always speak to me at this level?" To my loved one and to all of you, I would say that I too would like to constantly feel those strong impressions from the Spirit and always see clearly the path to follow. But I don't. However, what we might feel more often is the still small voice of the Lord, whispering to our mind and heart, "I am here. I love you. Go on. Do your best. I'll support you." We don't always need to know everything or see everything. The still small voice is reaffirming, encouraging, and comforting. And many times that's just what we need for the day. The Holy Ghost is real, and His impressions are real, the big ones and the small ones. The Lord went on to promise, "He that seeketh, findeth." Seeking implies mental and spiritual effort, pondering, testing, trying, and studying. We seek because we trust the Lord's promises. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." When we seek, we are humbly acknowledging that we still have much to learn, and the Lord will expand our understanding, preparing us to receive more. "For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more." Finally, the Lord said, "To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." To knock is to act in faith. When we actively follow him, the Lord opens the way before us. There's a beautiful hymn that teaches us to wake up and do something more than dream of our mansion above. Doing good is a pleasure, a joy beyond measure, a blessing of duty and love. Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the Twelve recently explained that revelation often comes when we are in the act of doing good. He said, "As we try to reach out in service to those around us, I think the Lord gives us an extra measure of his love for them and therefore for us. I think we hear his voice. We feel him in a different way as we pray to help those around us, because that's one of the prayers that he most wants to answer." That simple suggestion and "come follow me to think about my blessings" brought a sweet spirit and some unexpected spiritual insights. As I continued reading about Alma and his ministry in Ammonihah, I discovered that Alma provides a good example of what it means to ask, seek, and knock. We read that Alma labored much in the Spirit, wrestling with God in mighty prayer that he would pour out his Spirit upon the people. That prayer, however, was not answered the way he hoped, and Alma was cast out of the city. Weighed down with sorrow, Alma was about to give up when an angel delivered this message: "Blessed art thou, Alma. Therefore lift up thy head and rejoice, for thou hast great cause to rejoice." The angel then told him to return to Ammonihah and try again, and Alma returned speedily. What do we learn from Alma about asking, seeking, and knocking? We learn that prayer requires spiritual labor, and it does not always lead to the outcome we hope for. But when we feel discouraged or weighed down with sorrow, the Lord gives us comfort and strength in different ways. He may not answer all of our questions or solve all of our problems right away. Rather, he encourages us to keep trying. If we then speedily align our plan with his plan, he will open the way for us, as he did for Alma. It is my testimony that this is the dispensation of the fullness of the gospel. We can enjoy the blessings of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives. We have the scriptures widely available to us. We are led by prophets who teach us the will of the Lord for the difficult times we live in. In addition, we have direct access to our own revelation, so the Lord can comfort and guide us personally. As the angel said to Alma, we have great cause to rejoice. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We invite you, wherever you may be, to join the choir in singing one verse of Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah. After the singing, we will hear from Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and Elder Kelly R. Johnson of the 70. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles will then address us.
This is the Sunday afternoon session of the 190th Semi-Annual General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As followers of Jesus Christ and His Latter-day Saints, we strive and are encouraged to strive to do better and be better. Perhaps you've wondered, as I have, am I doing enough? What else should I be doing? Or how can I, as a flawed person, qualify to dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked the question this way, Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Micah satirically wondered whether even exorbitant offerings might be enough to compensate for sin, saying, Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for the sin of my soul? The answer is no. Good deeds are not sufficient. Salvation is not earned. Not even the vast sacrifices Micah knew were impossible can redeem the smallest sin. Left to our own devices, the prospect of returning to live in God's presence is hopeless. Without the blessings that come from Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, we can never do enough or be enough by ourselves. The good news, though, is that because of and through Jesus Christ, we can become enough. All people will be saved from physical death by the grace of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we turn our hearts to God, salvation from spiritual death is available to all through the atonement of Jesus Christ by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. We can be redeemed and stand pure and clean before God. As Micah explained, God hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah's direction on turning our hearts to God and qualifying for salvation contains three interconnected elements. Doing justly means acting honorably with God and with other people. We act honorably with God by walking humbly with Him. We act honorably with others by loving mercy. To do justly is therefore a practical application of the first and second great commandments: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. To do justly and walk humbly with God is to intentionally withdraw our hand from iniquity, walk in His statutes, and remain authentically faithful. A just person turns away from sin and toward God, makes covenants with Him, and keeps those covenants. A just person chooses to obey the commandments of God, repents when falling short, and keeps on trying. When the resurrected Christ visited the Nephites, He explained that the law of Moses had been replaced by a higher law. He instructed them not to offer up sacrifices and burnt offerings any longer, but to offer a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He also promised, "And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." When we receive and use the gift of the Holy Ghost after baptism, we can enjoy the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost and be taught all things that we should do, including how to walk humbly with God. Jesus Christ's sacrifice for sin and salvation from spiritual death are available to all who have such a broken heart and contrite spirit. A broken heart and contrite spirit prompt us to joyfully repent and try to become more like our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. As we do so, we receive the Savior's cleansing, healing, and strengthening power. We not only do justly and walk humbly with God, we also learn to love mercy the way that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ do. God delights in mercy and does not begrudge its use. In Micah's words to Jehovah, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, will have compassion upon us, and will cast all sins into the depths of the sea?" To love mercy as God does is inseparably connected to dealing justly with others and not mistreating them. The importance of not mistreating others is highlighted in an anecdote about Hillel the Elder, a Jewish scholar who lived in the first century before Christ. One of Hillel's students was exasperated by the complexity of the Torah, the five books of Moses with their 613 commandments and associated rabbinic writings. The student challenged Hillel to explain the Torah using only the time that Hillel could stand on one foot. Hillel may not have had great balance, but accepted the challenge. He quoted from Leviticus, saying, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Hillel then concluded, "That which is hateful unto you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole of the Torah. The rest is commentary. Go forth and study." Always dealing honorably with others is part of loving mercy. Consider a conversation I overheard decades ago in the emergency department of Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, in the United States. A patient, Mr. Jackson, was a courteous, pleasant man who was well known to the hospital staff. He had previously been hospitalized multiple of times for the treatment of alcohol-related diseases. On this occasion, Mr. Jackson returned to the hospital for symptoms that would be diagnosed as inflammation of the pancreas caused by alcohol consumption. Toward the end of his shift, Dr. Cohen, a hard-working and admired physician, evaluated Mr. Jackson and determined that hospitalization was warranted. Dr. Cohen assigned Dr. Jones, the physician next up in rotation, to admit Mr. Jackson and oversee his treatment. Dr. Jones had attended a prestigious medical school and was just beginning her postgraduate studies. This grueling training was often associated with sleep deprivation, which likely contributed to Dr. Jones' negative response. Confronted with her fifth admission of the night, she complained loudly to Dr. Cohen. She felt it was unfair that she would have to spend many hours caring for Mr. Jackson because his predicament was, after all, self-inflicted. Dr. Cohen's emphatic response was spoken in almost a whisper. He said, "Dr. Jones, you became a physician to care for people and work to heal them. You didn't become a physician to judge them. If you don't understand the difference, you have no right to train at this institution." Following this correction, Dr. Jones diligently cared for Mr. Jackson during the hospitalization. Mr. Jackson has since died. Both Dr. Jones and Dr. Cohen have had stellar careers. But at a critical moment in her training, Dr. Jones needed to be reminded to do justly, to love mercy, and to care for Mr. Jackson without being judgmental. Over the years, I've benefited from that reminder. Loving mercy means that we do not just love the mercy God extends to us. We delight that God extends the same mercy to others. And we follow his example. All are alike unto God, and we all need spiritual treatment to be helped and healed. The Lord has said, "Ye shall not esteem one flesh above another, or one man shall not think himself above another." Jesus Christ exemplified what it means to do justly and to love mercy. He freely associated with sinners, treating them honorably and with respect. He taught the joy of keeping God's commandments and sought to lift rather than condemn those who struggled. He did denounce those who faulted him for ministering to people they deemed unworthy. Such self-righteousness offended him, and still does. To be Christ-like, a person does justly, behaving honorably with both God and other people. A just person is civil in words and action, and recognizes that differences in outlook or belief do not preclude genuine kindness and friendship. Individuals who do justly will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably one with another. To be Christ-like, a person loves mercy. People who love mercy are not judgmental. They manifest compassion for others, especially for those who are less fortunate. They're gracious, kind, and honorable. These individuals treat everyone with love and understanding, regardless of characteristics such as race, gender, religious affiliation, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, and tribal, clan, or national differences. These are superseded by Christ-like love. To be Christ-like, a person chooses God, walks humbly with him, seeks to please him, and keeps covenants with him. Individuals who walk humbly with God remember what Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have done for them. Am I doing enough? What else should I be doing? The action we take in response to these questions is central to our happiness in this life and in the eternities. The Savior does not want us to take salvation for granted. Even after we've made sacred covenants, there is a possibility that we may fall from grace and depart from the living God. So we should take heed and pray always to avoid falling into temptation. But at the same time, our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ do not want us to be paralyzed by continual uncertainty during our mortal journey, wondering whether we've done enough to be saved and exalted. They surely do not want us to be tormented by mistakes from which we've repented, thinking of them as wounds that never heal, or be excessively apprehensive that we might stumble again. We can assess our own progress. We can know that the course of life that we're pursuing is according to God's will when we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We assimilate attributes of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ into our character, and we love one another. when you do these things, you will follow the covenant path and qualify to dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Your souls will be infused with the glory of God and with the light of everlasting life. You will be filled with incomprehensible joy. I testify that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, and lovingly and joyfully extends His mercy to all. Don't you love it? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
In reviewing the teachings of our dear prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, I found a word
بمراجعة تعليم نبينا العزيز الرئيس راسل إم نيلسون وجدت كلمة يستخدمها كثيرا في العديد من الخطابات. الكلمة هي قوة. في المؤتمر العام الأول بعد تأييده كرسول تحدث الرئيس نيلسون عن القوة وتابع تعليمه عن القوة على مر السنين. منذ تأييدنا للرئيس نيلسون كنبي لنا فقد علم عن مبدأ القوة وتحديدا قوة الله وكيف يمكننا الوصول إليها. لقد علمنا كيف يمكننا الاعتماد على قوة الله بينما نخدم الآخرين، كيف تدعو التوبة قوة يسوع المسيح وكفارته إلى حياتنا، وكيف أن الكهنوت قوة الله وسلطانه تبارك كل من يصنع عهودا معه ويحفظها. شهد الرئيس نيلسون أن قوة الله تسري إلى جميع من حصلوا على الأعطية في الهيكل طالما يحفظون عهودهم. لقد تأثرت بشكل خاص بالتحدي الذي قدمه الرئيس نيلسون في المؤتمر العام في نيسان أبريل 2020. لقد علمنا بأن نقوم بالدراسة والصلاة لمعرفة المزيد عن القوة والمعرفة التي منحت لكم أو التي ستنالونها لاحقا. ردا على هذا التحدي درست وصليت وتعلمت بعض الأشياء المفيدة حول القوة والمعرفة التي منحتها أو التي سأنالها لاحقا. إن فهم ما يجب علينا فعله للوصول إلى قوة الله في حياتنا ليس بالأمر السهل، لكنني وجدت أنه من الممكن تحقيقه من خلال دراساته في أذهاننا والصلاة من أجل الروح القدس لتنويرنا. قدم الشيخ ريتشارد جي سكوت تعريفا واضحا عن قوة الله، إنها القوة لفعل أكثر مما يمكننا القيام به بأنفسنا. إن ملأ قلوبنا وحتى أرواحنا بكلمة الله وأسس الإيمان بيسوع المسيح أمر بالغ الأهمية للاعتماد على قوة الله لمساعدتنا في هذه الأوقات الصعبة. بدون الحصول على كلمة الله والإيمان بيسوع المسيح في أعماق قلوبنا قد تفشل شهادتنا وإيماننا وقد نفقد الوصول إلى القوة التي يريد الله أن يمنحنا إياها. الإيمان السطحي غير كاف، فقط الإيمان وكلمة الله اللذان يملأان روحنا الداخلية كافيان لإعالتنا وللسماح لنا بالوصول إلى قوته. عندما كنت أنا والأخت جونسون نربي أطفالا شجعنا كل واحد منهم على تعلم العزف على آلة موسيقية، لكننا كنا نسمح لأطفالنا بأخذ دروس في الموسيقى فقط إذا قاموا بدورهم وتدربوا على آلاتهم الموسيقية كل يوم. في أحد أيام السبت كانت ابنتنا الثالثة متحمسة للذهاب للعب مع الأصدقاء، لكنها لم تكن قد مارست العزف على البيانو، مع العلم أنها التزمت بالتدريب لمدة 30 دقيقة. كانت تنوي ضبط مؤقت، لكنها لم تكن تريد تدرب ولو لدقيقة واحدة أكثر مما هو مطلوب. وبينما كانت تسير بجوار فرن الميكروويف في طريقها إلى البيانو توقفت وضغطت على بعض الأزرار، ولكن بدلا من ضبط المؤقت قامت بضبط الميكروويف على الطهي لمدة 30 دقيقة وضغطت زر البدء. بعد حوالي 20 دقيقة من التدريب عادت إلى المطبخ للتحقق من الوقت المتبقي ووجدت فرن الميكروويف مشتعلا. بعدها ركضت إلى الفناء الخلفي حيث كنت أقوم بأعمال الفناء وصرخت قائلة إن المنزل مشتعل. ركضت بسرعة إلى المنزل وبالفعل وجدت فرن الميكروويف مشتعلا. في محاولة لإنقاذ منزلنا من الاحتراق وصلت إلى خلف الميكروويف وفصلته عن الكهرباء واستخدمت السلك لرفع الميكروويف المشتعل عن المنضدة. على أمل أن أكون البطل وأنقذ اليوم وكذلك منزلنا، قمت بأرجحة الميكروويف المشتعل في دوائر باستخدام سلك الكهرباء لإبعاده عن جسدي ووصلت إلى الفناء الخلفي. ومع حركة متأرجحة أخرى دفعت الميكروويف إلى الخارج. هناك تمكننا من إطفاء النيران بخرطوم ماء. ما الخطأ الذي حدث؟ يحتاج فرن الميكروويف إلى شيء لامتصاص طاقته، وعندما لا يوجد شيء في الداخل لامتصاص الطاقة يمتص الفرن نفسه الطاقة ويصبح ساخنا، وقد تشتعل فيه النيران ويدمر نفسه في كومة من اللهب والرماد. اشتعلت النيران في الميكروويف بالكامل واحترق لأنه لم يكن هناك شيء في الداخل. وبالمثل فإن أولئك الذين لديهم إيمان وكلمة الله عميقة في قلوبهم سيتمكنون من امتصاص السهام النارية والتغلب عليها، والتي سيرسلها الخصم بالتأكيد من أجل تدميرنا. خلاف ذلك قد لا يدوم إيماننا وأملنا وقناعتنا، ومثل فرن الميكروويف الفارغ يمكن أن نصبح ضحية. لقد تعلمت أن وجود كلمة الله في أعماق روحي إلى جانب الإيمان بالرب يسوع المسيح وكفارته يسمح لي بالاستفادة من قوة الله للتغلب على الخصم وأي شيء قد يلقي به علي. عندما نواجه التحديات يمكننا الاعتماد على وعد الرب الذي علمه بولس، لأن الله لم يعطنا روح الفشل بل روح القوة والمحبة والنصح. نحن نعلم أنه عندما كان المخلص طفلا كان ينمو ويتقوى بالروح ممتلئا حكمة، وكانت نعمة الله عليه. نحن نعلم أنه مع نموه فكان يتقدم في الحكمة والقامة والنعمة عند الله والناس. ونعلم أنه بحلول الوقت الذي بدأت فيه خدمته بهتوا من تعليمه، لأن كلامه كان بسلطان. أثناء الإعداد نمت قوة المخلص وتمكن من مقاومة كل إغراءات الشيطان، بينما نتبع مثال المخلص ونستعد من خلال دراسة كلمة الله وتعميق إيماننا. يمكننا أيضا الاعتماد على قوة الله لمقاومة التجارب. خلال هذا الوقت من التجمع المحدود الذي يجعل الحضور المنتظم إلى الهيكل مستحيلا، لقد شددت بالفعل على مواصلة الدراسة ومعرفة المزيد عن قوة الله التي تأتي إلينا بينما نصنع عهود الهيكل ونحافظ عليها. كما هو موعود في الصلاة الافتتاحية لهيكل كيرتلاند، نترك الهيكل متسلحين بقوة الله. لا يوجد تاريخ انتهاء صلاحية مرتبط بالقوة التي يمنحها الله لمن يصنعون عهود الهيكل ويحافظون عليها أو تقييد الوصول إلى تلك القوة أثناء الجائحة. تتضاءل قوته في حياتنا فقط إذا فشلنا في الحفاظ على عهودنا ولم نعش بطريقة تسمح لنا بالتأهل باستمرار للحصول على قوته. أثناء خدمتنا أنا وزوجتي العزيزة كقادة بعثة تبشيرية في تايلاند ولاوس وبنمار، شهدنا عن كثب قوة الله التي تأتي أولئك الذين يصنعون العهود المقدسة ويحفظونها في الهيكل. أطاح صندوق مساعدة راعي الهيكل للعديد من القديسين في هذه البلدان الثلاثة حضور الهيكل بعد بذل كل ما في وسعهم من خلال التضحيات الشخصية والإعداد. أتذكر لقاء مجموعة من 20 شخصا من القديسين المخلصين من لاوس في مطار في بانكوك تايلاند لمساعدتنا على الانتقال إلى مطار آخر في بانكوك للحاق برحلتهم إلى هونغ كونغ. كان هؤلاء الأعضاء ممتلئين بالإثارة للسفر أخيرا إلى بيت الرب. عندما التقينا بهؤلاء القديسين الطيبين عند عودتهم كان من الواضح نضج الإنجيل الإضافي والقوة المرتبطة به نتيجة تلقي هبات الهيكل والدخول في عهود مع الله. من الواضح أن هؤلاء القديسين خرجوا من الهيكل متسلحين بقوته. هذه القوة على فعل أكثر مما يستطيعون فعله بأنفسهم أعطتهم القوة على تحمل تحديات عضوية الكنيسة في وطنهم والمضي قدما في حمل بشرى عظيمة ومجيدة للغاية في الحق، بينما يواصلون بناء ملكوت الرب في لاوس. خلال الوقت الذي لم نتمكن فيه من حضور الهيكل، هل اعتمد كل منا على العهود التي قطعناها في الهيكل لتحديد مسار اتجاه واضح لا يتغير في حياتنا؟ هذه العهود إذا تم حفظها تمنحنا رؤية وتوقعات بشأن المستقبل وتصميما واضحا للتأهل لاستلام كل ما وعد به الرب من خلال أمانتنا. أدعوكم إلى البحث عن القوة التي يريد الله أن يمنحكم إياها. أشهد أنه عندما نسعى للحصول على هذه القوة سوف ننعم بفهم أعظم لمحبة أبينا السماوي لنا. لأن الأب السماوي يحبكم ويحبني. أشهد أنه أرسل ابنه الحبيب يسوع المسيح ليكون مخلصنا وفادينا. أشهد بيسوع المسيح الذي له كل القوة. باسم يسوع المسيح، آمين.
Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and Redeemer. I testify of Jesus Christ, He who has all power, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My beloved brothers and sisters, we are all eager, no one more than I, to hear concluding remarks from our beloved prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. This has been a marvelous conference, but it's the second time that COVID-19 has altered our traditional proceedings. We are so tired of this contagion that we feel like tearing our hair out. And apparently some of my brethren have already begun that course of action. Please know that we do pray constantly for those who've been affected in any way, especially for any who have lost loved ones. Everyone agrees that this has gone on much, much too long. How long do we wait for relief from hardships that come upon us? What about enduring personal trials while we wait and wait and help seems so slow in coming? Why the delay when burdens seem more than we can bear? While asking such questions, we can, if we try, hear another's cry echoing from a dank, dark prison cell during one of the coldest winters then on record in that locale. O God, where art thou? We hear from the depths of Liberty Jail. And where is the pavilion that covereth thy hiding place? How long shall thy hand be stayed? How long, O Lord? How long? So, we're not the first, nor will we be the last, to ask such questions when sorrows bear down on us or an ache in our heart goes on and on. I'm not now speaking of pandemics or prisons, but of you, your family, and your neighbors who face any number of such challenges. I speak of the yearning of many who would like to be married and aren't, or who are married and wish the relationship were a little more celestial. I speak of those who have to deal with the unwanted appearance of a serious medical condition, perhaps an incurable one, or who face a lifelong battle with a genetic defect that has no remedy. I speak of the continuing struggle with emotional and mental health challenges that weigh heavily on the souls of so many who suffer with them and on the hearts of those who love and suffer with them. I speak of the poor whom the Savior told us never to forget. And I speak of you waiting for the return of a child, no matter what the age, who has chosen a path different from the one you prayed he or she would take. Furthermore, I acknowledge that even this long list of things for which we might wait personally does not attempt to address the large economic, political, and social concerns that confront us collectively. Our Father in heaven clearly expects us to address these wrenching public issues as well as the personal ones. But there will be times in our lives when even our best spiritual effort and earnest pleading prayers do not yield the victories for which we have yearned, whether that be regarding the large global matters or the small personal ones. So while we work and wait together for the answers to some of our prayers, I offer you my apostolic promise that they are heard and they are answered, though perhaps not at the time or in the way that we wanted. But they are always answered at the time and in the way that an omniscient and eternally compassionate parent should answer them. My beloved brothers and sisters, please understand that He who never sleeps nor slumbers cares for the happiness and ultimate exaltation of His children above all else that a divine being has to do. He is pure love, gloriously personified, and Merciful Father is His name. Well, if this is the case, you might say, shouldn't His love and mercy simply part our personal Red Seas and allow us to walk through our troubles on dry ground? Shouldn't He send 21st century seagulls winging in from somewhere to gobble up all of our pesky 21st century crickets? Well, the answer to such questions is yes. God can provide miracles instantaneously. But sooner or later, we learn that the times and seasons of our mortal journey are His, and they are His alone to direct. He administers that calendar to every one of us individually. For every infirm man healed instantly as he waits to enter the pool of Bethesda, someone else will spend 40 years in the desert waiting to enter the promised land. For every Nephi and Lehi divinely protected by an encircling flame of fire for their faith, we have an Abinadi burned at a stake of flaming fire for His. And we remember that the same Elijah who in an instant called down fire from heaven to bear witness against the priests of Baal is the same Elijah who endured a period when there was no rain for years and who for a time was fed only by the skimpy sustenance that could be carried in a raven's claw. By my estimation, that can't have been anything we would call a happy meal. The point is that faith means trusting God in good times and bad, even if that includes some suffering, until we see His arm revealed in our behalf. That can be difficult in our modern world, when many have come to believe that the highest good in life is to avoid all suffering, that no one should ever anguish over anything. But that belief will never lead us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. With apologies to Elder Neil A. Maxwell for daring to modify and enlarge something he once said, I too suggest that one's life cannot be both faith-filled and stress-free. It simply will not work to glide naively through life, saying as we sip another glass of lemonade, Lord, give me all Thy choicest virtues, but be certain not to give me grief, nor sorrow, nor pain, nor opposition. Please do not let anyone dislike me or betray me. And above all, do not ever let me feel forsaken by Thee or those I love. In fact, Lord, be careful to keep me from all the experiences that made Thee divine. And then when the rough sledding by everyone else is over, please let me come and dwell with Thee, where I can boast about how similar our strengths and our characters are, as I float along on my cloud of comfortable Christianity. My beloved brothers and sisters, Christianity is comforting, but it is often not comfortable. The path to holiness and happiness here and hereafter is a long and sometimes rocky one. It takes time and tenacity to walk it. But of course, the reward for doing so is monumental. This truth is taught clearly and persuasively in the 32nd chapter of Alma in the Book of Mormon. There, this great high priest teaches that if the Word of God is planted in our hearts as a mere seed, and if we care enough to water, weed, nourish, and encourage it, it will in the future bear fruit, which is most precious, sweet above all that is sweet, the consuming of which leads to a condition of no more thirst and no more hunger. Many lessons are taught in this remarkable chapter, but central to them all is the axiom that the seed has to be nourished and we must wait for it to mature. We look forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, the record says. Our harvest, Alma quotes, comes by and by. Little wonder that he concludes his remarkable instruction by repeating three times a call for diligence and patience in nurturing the Word of God in our hearts, waiting, as he says, with long suffering for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. COVID and cancer, doubt and dismay, financial trouble and family trials. When will these burdens be lifted? Well, the answer is by and by. And whether that be a short period or a long one, it is not always ours to say. But by the grace of God, the blessings will come to those who hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That issue was settled in a very private garden on a very public hill in Jerusalem long ago. As we now hear our beloved prophet close this conference, may we remember, as Russell Nelson has demonstrated all of his life, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I pray that by and by, sooner or late, these blessings will come to every one of you who seeks relief from your sorrow and freedom from your grief. I bear witness of God's love and of the restoration of His glorious gospel, which is in one way or another the answer to every issue we face in life. In the redeeming name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
At the conclusion of the conference, we express sincere appreciation to all who have worked so diligently to prepare for these services. We thank those who have spoken and those who have provided the uplifting music. The concluding speaker for this session will be our beloved prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. Following his remarks, the choir will close this conference by singing, "God Be With You Till We Meet Again." The benediction will then be offered by Brother Jan E. Newman, who serves as second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. The conference will then be adjourned.
My dear brothers and sisters, these 2 days of General Conference have been glorious. I agree with Elder Holland as he mentioned the messages, the prayers, and the music that have all been inspired by the Lord. I am grateful to all who have participated in any way. Throughout the proceedings, I have pictured you in my mind listening to conference. I have asked the Lord to help me understand what you are feeling, worrying about, or trying to resolve. I have wondered what I might say to conclude this conference that would send you forth with the optimism about the future that I know the Lord wants you to feel. We live in a glorious age foreseen by prophets for centuries. This is the dispensation when no spiritual blessing will be withheld from the righteous. Despite the world's commotion, the Lord would have us look forward to the future with joyful anticipation. Let us not spin our wheels in the memories of yesterday. The gathering of Israel moves forward. The Lord Jesus Christ directs the affairs of His church, and it will achieve its divine objectives. The challenge for you and me is to make certain that each of us will achieve his or her divine potential. Today we often hear about a new normal. If you really want to embrace a new normal, I invite you to turn your heart, mind, and soul increasingly to our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let that be your new normal. Embrace your new normal by repenting daily. Seek to be increasingly pure in thought, word, and deed. Minister to others. Keep an eternal perspective. Magnify your callings. And whatever your challenges, my dear brothers and sisters, leave each day, live each day, so that you are more prepared to meet your Maker. That is why we have temples. The Lord's ordinances and covenants prepare us for eternal life, the greatest of all of God's blessings. As you know, the COVID pandemic required a temporary closure of our temples. Then we commenced a carefully coordinated, phased reopening. With phase two now in place in many temples, thousands of couples have been sealed, and thousands have received their own endowments just in the past few months. We look forward to the day when all worthy members of the church can again serve their ancestors and worship in a holy temple. Now I am pleased to announce plans for the construction of 6 new temples to be built in the following locations: Tarawa, Kiribati, Port Vila, Vanuatu, Linden, Utah, Greater Guatemala City, Guatemala, Sao Paulo East, Brazil, and Santa Cruz, Bolivia. As we build and maintain these temples, we pray that each of you will build and maintain yourself so you can be worthy to enter the holy temple. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I bless you to be filled with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His peace is beyond all mortal understanding. I bless you with an increased desire and ability to obey the laws of God. I promise that as you do, you will be showered with blessings, including greater courage, increased personal revelation, sweeter harmony in your homes, and joy, even amid uncertainty. May we go forward together to fulfill our divine mandate, that of preparing ourselves and the world for the second coming of the Lord. I so pray with my expression of love for you. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, at the close of this general conference, we thank Thee for the blessing of having been taught by Thy chosen servants. We love them and sustain them. We are thankful for the announcement of these new temples and all the temples throughout the world and the great blessing they are to this sacred work, thy work, the work of salvation. We thank thee for thy Son. We love him, and our faith and trust rest in him. Father, we look forward to the day when he will return to the earth with all of his holy angels. That blessed day when there will be no more sorrow and no more death. And he will wipe the tears from our eyes. But until that day, Father, we will go forth and build thy kingdom and gather scattered Israel and prepare every heart to receive him. And we say this in his sacred name, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
This has been a broadcast of the Sunday afternoon session of the 190th Semi-Annual General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Speakers were selected from the general authorities and general officers of the church. Music was provided by the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. This broadcast has been furnished as a public service by Bonneville Distribution. Any reproduction, recording, transcription, or other use of this program without written consent is prohibited.